Me, please, into the second epistle of Peter, the third chapter, and especially we are noticing verse 18. where the writer says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But grow in grace. It's time to grow up. Now, all the way through the scriptures, especially in the epistles of Paul, we discover him over and over again saying to people, "I would like to write to you as adult people, mature in the Lord Jesus, but I dare not, because if I were to, you wouldn't be able to receive the word that I'm giving you. For you are yet like little babies. You're like children just born who need their mother's milk. I can't give you meat because you're still on liquids and not yet on solids." He goes on. He says, "I long to give you the meat of the word, but if I were to give you the meat of the word, you would choke on it because you haven't learned to digest through mastication, through chewing the cud, through, we call it meditation. Through the meditation of the word of God, you haven't learned for me to give you the good things, so I'm still with the milk. I still have to come around to you with milk." Now, the word that is in front of us is a challenging word, for it tells us that we must learn to grow in grace. For instance, let me share with you that the Lord Jesus teaches us to grow in grace. He tells us that we need to grow in knowledge. If you turn with me to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, you'll discover in verse 9 where Jesus says to his disciples, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?" Or let me put it to this congregation, have you been attending this church so long, yet you still don't know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of your soul? Has he been, has the presence, has the testimony of Christ been continually here, and yet you've not yet received him? Or let me put that another way. Has the testimony of the Lord Jesus and the testimony of the power of the mighty Spirit of God been here so long that you have yet to get off the milk and into the word, which is the meat? Some of you perhaps have been coasting for a few years in the guise and in the hope that somehow you'd make it. Somehow you'll reach heaven because you've been some sort of a nice person. Turn the pages of the scripture, will you, into the third chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, where we discover the Apostle Paul talking of his testimony in Christ Jesus. And he says, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and says in verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." The apostle says, "Oh, that I may know him." Ladies and gentlemen, we need in the day in which we're living to know Jesus Christ intimately. And God has given us an excellent manner by which we might learn of him and be on an intimate relationship with him. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1, the second epistle of Timothy, chapter 1. Paul is writing to this young man, and he says, "Young man, there are many things you need to learn. You're dearly beloved of me. I treat you like a son. I thank God for you all the time. I love you dearly in the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says, "I was appointed to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Then comes verse 12. This is 2 Timothy 1:12. "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you know Jesus Christ so well that you can say, I know whom I believed and have and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day when he shall return and I shall face the judgment seat? Can you say with all your heart, if I were to face the judgment seat of Jesus Christ today, I would be well and would sing at the top of my voice, it is well with my soul, it is well. You know that. If you don't know that, my dear friend, reconsider the need of salvation in Christ Jesus. For the day is coming when we will stand in front of God. We will stand in front of Jesus Christ. And unless we've received him as our personal Savior whilst here on earth, we will not sing, it is well with my soul. You see, the teaching of the Scripture is basically this. We've got to learn to grow up so that we can give a truthful account of our salvation. We can say, I know in whom I have believed because I'm believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's remedy for the sin of the world, God's method of salvation, God's method of bringing me to himself. God has reconciled himself to me. Now the job is to bring me to him. He has reconciled himself, who is total holiness and total purity and absolute joy. This is God. And by seeing the suffering of Jesus Christ, that same God was satisfied with his suffering. And when he was satisfied with his suffering, he said, now mankind can come to me. But mankind does not come. And it does not come because we do not know. And we do not know because we do not listen. And we don't listen because there aren't preachers. You can get any number of people that will tweak your ear and make you want to listen to them about all sorts of fancy teachings. But the basic truth of the gospel is simply this. Ye must be born again. And if you haven't started there, you'll never grow in the things of God. You'll never develop into the man and the woman that God wants you to be. Now, to be born again is purely to accept the skeleton of the whole body of Christ. As I take the skeleton, now I'm responsible for building up the muscle. I'm responsible for putting on the sinew. And I'm responsible for keeping myself in shape. And I am responsible to God to grow. Now there are many who don't want to. And there are many who want to and don't know how to. And I want to share some of that with you this day. There are some no-nos, if that's a good expression. There are some no-nos to growth in grace. Activity in place of growth does not mean you've grown. You may be very involved in committees, on boards. You may be very involved in the church, terribly busy, having Bible studies and all sorts of things, even including prayer meetings. You may be busy looking after all kinds of things that need looking after. But my dear people, until you come to the place where you're growing in the Word of God, activity has no growth pattern. The second thing that's a no-no is growth is primarily an inward change and an inward progression closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, I count all things. I have made a decision. I count all things as so much refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Just to be close to Jesus Christ is all I want. He's more precious than gems. He's more precious than land. I'd rather have Jesus and be held by his nail-pierced hands than have all the world's treasures. Is that what you're saying? You see, it's an inward growth. It's an inward progression. I grow in grace in my heart, in my soul. I develop an ability to speak with God, to listen to God, to embrace God, and to come close through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is evidence when growth is taking place. The obvious evidence is the illustration of the scripture. By their fruits ye shall know them. If this is a spiritual tree that has grown, then it will bear spiritual fruits. There are love and joy and peace and long-suffering. There's all kinds of self-control and all kinds of ability to keep the command that we have received of God and the vows that we have committed and so on. There are the fruits of the Spirit hanging on the tree. But if we have not received the things of God, then the fruits they are on our tree are unfruits. And the unfruits are everything from disobedience to parents to deception and lying. And it's not just adultery and drug taking and those dreadful things that damn us. It's the little things, the lies we tell, the murmurings against authority, the attitudes against parents, the lack of communication between people and so on. It's these things that catch us out. It's these things that reveal on us there is no fruit of the Spirit of God. Now, when you discuss the fruits of the Spirit of God that hang upon the tree of the Spirit that is born in us and is growing in us, there is no argument against those. But on these other unspiritual things, these unfruits, oh, there's massive discussion. Even righteousness alone without God, without the power of the Spirit of God, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, even righteousness can put things right. People can live a righteous life without Christ and without God. They cannot keep all of the law, but they can live uprightly. So be careful, because to see growth is to develop and understand the evidence. The evidence, self decreases, Christ increases. The evidence, a desire, a deep desire, not to be applauded by men, but to be recognized by God. Not to be like Diotrephes, who turned away from God. At first he was always in the church, always in the Word, always in prayer, always there. And then he went away. Another thing, we should be increasingly weaned away from the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Get away from it. Get away. But you don't get away just by saying, I won't do it, or I won't see it, or I won't hear it. We get away by saturating our hearts and saturating our souls in the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit then can stay with us and teach us through His Word. Notice something else. The evidence is when we share Jesus Christ's compassion for the lost. We read in Matthew's gospel and see in the multitudes, he had compassion on them. Do you have compassion on the people that are lost? Or are you locked up in your home, locked up in your furnishings, locked up in your entertainings? Are you just locked up in your own little world? Or do you have such a compassion for the lost you can reach out? Can you talk to the people that are lost? Will you talk? There is evidence of spiritual growth, if you can. And then if you take heed to the Word of God and obey the Word of God, and then there is evidence when we are not moved by trials and testings, but we know quite simply that trials and testings simply are refining the gold of our faith. All right, you say, preacher, tell us now then, how do I grow in grace? First of all, my dear friend, you must be sure that you're born again. You must be absolutely positive that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're older and have been attending this church, maybe even a baptized member, but you know in your heart of hearts you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, you wouldn't be the first person to walk down the aisle and say, today I receive Christ as my personal Savior. I was preaching one day in a former church, and as I came to the conclusion of the service, one of the most beautiful ladies in all Christendom started walking down the aisle, and I had to wonder what she was doing. She was well into her 70s, and now she is beyond 80 and is growing older. But this gracious lovely lady started walking down the aisle. I have never seen a congregation moved as that one was on that day. For people looked across the congregation as they watched her. She walked down the aisle with tears running down her face. And this elderly lady who had been a member of that church for well over 40 years, had played the organ consistently for well over 30 years, this dear, sweet woman walked to the front and she said, "I must receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." There was a moving hush in the hearts of the men and women of that congregation. And I don't exaggerate one scrap. There was a humility that came on us all. For this woman's life had been the very essence of purity and godliness. Her husband, one of the finest men I have ever had the joy and privilege to meet. Maybe it's your turn. But whatever the reason, my dear friends, be sure before you leave this place today, you are right with God. You are born again. The second thing we need to look at is we must have deep in our hearts the care of others and the comfort of others. We must be concerned with the care and comfort of those around us. For babies are dependent and they need care. They need comfort. And so we need to settle down and be at home with Jesus Christ. If I'm born again, I am to be still and know that He is God. I am to hush my mind and hush my soul and hush my spirit and hush my reckless wanderings. I am to hush and be still that I might know whom God is, that I might understand whom I have believed. Spiritual hobos, spiritual gypsies never grow. If you're flitting from church to church, go back to your first church and stay there. Don't leave churches to go to churches. Go home. Go home. My dear friends, we love you. We love to see you in this congregation. We need you, in fact. But better for you to serve the community and have the testimony where you live than to travel vast distances so that you can just enjoy a certain congregation. Don't be a spiritual gypsy. Don't be a spiritual hobo. Don't be somebody who's riding some sort of train, jumping on the open door, in the open doors of the cars and not paying the fare. Don't be like that. Be people who can stand up and say, "I stand here, and I learn the scriptures here, and I learn how to pray here, and I learn how to wrestle with Satan here, and I learn how to implore God right here. I learn how to grow in grace here." My sons and my daughters would never grow if I just left them beside the hedgerow. They'd never have grown if I'd have just left them on a bus to cart them through the city. They'd never have grown if I'd have just let anybody take them. They'd have never had a consistent teaching if I allowed all kinds of parents to come in and teach them which way to go. I have rules. I still have rules. I still say you will be home at 10. Another parent would say, "Hey, that's too early. Let them get in at midnight." Another parent would say, "Midnight? That's too early. Let them be in at 2. "Well, why bother? Stay out all night. Don't wake us up when you come home." See, parents have funny ideas. All of us, even those of us that think we're right, they're still different to everybody else that thinks they're right. So the child will be confused. Can you imagine bringing up a child and they were staying in 3 homes? One said you've got to be in at 10 o'clock, the other at midnight, the other 2 o'clock. They never know which one to come in for. At least that would be their excuse. Because I'd write it on a piece of paper. "You come home to my house, number one house today. That's 10 o'clock. Or I'd write it on the back of their hand where they could see it. No point in writing on their forehead. They'd say they didn't see a mirror. That's not how you bring a child up. You bring a child up simply by saying, child, these are the rules of my house. Never mind what everybody else does. These are my rules and this is my house. God has made me head of this family. I'm responsible to God for what you do. So child, you'll do it my way. Because I believe my way, I'm being bombarded by a fly. Or a beast with wings. Maybe it's a pterodactyl. Nasty. I'll open my mouth. If I swallow hard, you'll know what's happened. Do you know, I saw that happen once. A preacher was preaching, a fly flew in his mouth and he choked and swallowed and went on with his preaching. I shall be ill if it happens to me, because that fly's half dead anyway. He wouldn't come, maybe he would come that close. This is the third service I've had today. Maybe he's there for a purpose. That'll take a while to sink in, so I'll go on with this. Don't be a spiritual traveler. Stay tight. Learn to grow up. The third thing we need to understand is all babies need a lot of sleep and rest. In fact, that's the nicest part about babies. They sleep. It's when they don't sleep that they become unpleasant little blobs of humanity. That's a nasty fly. And we need to sleep. We need to rest. It's very important. Sleep is not a luxury, it's an absolute necessity. Listen to Jesus when he says, come unto me and lean on me. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. There are so many scriptures that I would like to share. There simply isn't time. But let me just ask you to turn the pages in this epistle of Peter. And let us turn to the first chapter of 2 Peter. And look with me in chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. A lot of verses, but let me read them as you read them. I'll use the authorized version, you use what other version you may have. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which means really self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For if so, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, what's the apostle saying? He is saying this, you've got to learn to grow up. Okay, so first of all, you've got something in your faith, you've got a little virtue, and then you've got to add to virtue a lot of knowledge. And then as you add your knowledge, you've got to be self-controlled. And as you add your self-control, you've got to learn to be patient. And as you learn to be patient, you should exhibit a great deal of God-likeness. And then as you exhibit God-likeness, it will be easy to exhibit kindness to your brethren, brotherly kindness. And then as you add that, make sure that you add love, a great big chunk of God's wonderful love. You see, the Bible says you've got to learn to rest, and you only do that by sitting back and learning. You only do that as you sit back and rest in the Lord Jesus, for the everlasting arms are underneath you, that's so you don't fall down, and around you, that's so you don't fall over. But notice the direction of those arms are underneath and around so you can still go up. We must learn to rest. Jesus said to his disciples, they were so distraught, John the Baptist had had his head chopped off, and they were so upset about losing their dear brother John the Baptist, and they came to Jesus and they were telling Jesus about it, and Jesus was also terribly moved, and he gathered the disciples and he said, come on, let's go into the desert, let's go into a secret place, let's go into a quiet resting place and rest a while. We need to rest. We need to rest. Babies need to rest. You're not going to grow up until you learn to lay in the arms of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. There's something else we need. We need a lot of fresh air. What fresh air is to our lungs, prayer is to the Christian. We need to breathe the sweet air of God's wondrous heaven. It's a vital breath. There are so many scriptures in this, I don't really know what to give to you. But I know this, if I give you the prescription of Psalm 55:17, maybe you can latch hold of it and get yourself into an attitude of prayer. The scriptures tell us, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, what I want you to do is pray without ceasing. Always be in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Do you pray without ceasing? The Word of God is powerful in teaching us that we must learn over and over again to breathe the air of heaven, and we breathe it when we pray. If you don't spend time in prayer, you're not growing, and you never will, because the air in your spiritual lungs is not there and you're stifled. Let me share with you what stifles you, why you don't pray. I can tell you exactly why you don't pray. Jesus said it was like this. You see, there was some seed that fell amongst thorns, and the thorns grew up and the seed grew up, but the thorns, the thistles, the weeds, they choked. They choked the wheat. They choked the good seed. Ah, said Jesus in explaining his analogy, I want you to understand that thorns and thistles and those terrible things that choke are the cares of this world. And it's the cares of this world that stop us from praying. I don't have time to pray. I've got to dash for my appointment. I haven't got time to pray. I've got to be involved in this and that and the other. I haven't time. I've got to go from the moment I get up to earn that great big dollar. Oh, come. Christian, come. Come and be quiet. Come and be still. Rest in the arms of Jesus the Christ and breathe the sweet air of heaven and get yourself in prayer. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. In the next instance, I leave with you that we need plenty of food. You don't grow up unless you eat. Some men eat too much and they get very fat. So don't eat too much. Eat the good food. The only good food that will develop the spiritual sinew and muscle upon your body and not give you adipose tissue and tons of unnecessary fat, so that you'll look like a jelly roll walking along, or you'll turn the corner and the rest of you will catch up in a minute or two. If you don't want to be spiritually like that, and there are people that look like it spiritually, I share with you, eat the right food. Hit the right diet and get into the Word of God. Jesus said that the Word of God was like bread. He said, if you're hungry, eat of the Word, for the Word is bread. I am the bread of life, said Jesus. And as in the beginning of the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word is Jesus, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You're hungry? Come to me, eat. Don't go to the books. Go to the book. Never mind everything else. Come to the one place. Ooh, there was a place that I used to love to go to in Wales. I'd climb the mountain, get hot and sweaty. And then on the way down, there was one place where you could dive in and swim. Ooh, it was so cold. Ooh, you'd scream as you were going through the water. And you'd turn around and get out of that pool as fast as you could. And then you'd look down at yourself and you'd be as blue as the water. Ooh, it was cold. But it was so refreshing. There was only one place in all of that area that I wanted to do that. and that's the only place I ever did it. It was the most refreshing place. So it is with Jesus. There is only one place where we can eat and live. It's Jesus. We must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is personified in the Word of God. The Word of God is the food of the mighty. Turn the page into the first epistle of Peter very quickly, please. Into the second chapter. Look at the second verse with me. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, if you've tasted that He's gracious, if you have that little tidbit upon your tongue that makes you say, hey, I want to be a Christian. I want to be someone in whom God delights, and I want my life to delight God. If you're that sort of person with a little taste of God, a little taste of the salvation, a little taste of the Lord Jesus upon your spiritual mouth, then my dear friend, now's the time to learn to feast on the Lord Jesus. Just feast on Him, for it's very precious. I share with you also the next thing. We need plenty of exercise. Oh, yeah. I've been dieting. Somebody said to me the other day, you've put on a lot of pounds. So I said, well, how do I get them off? Don't eat. So I've not been eating. It's miserable. It's quite miserable. I've lost a few pounds, but somehow the scales say the same as they did 2 weeks ago. Of course, the scales are rigged. I think the family rigged them for me to depress me. But they still say the same thing. We have talking scales. You know, 145 pounds going on 190. When I get on, they say, ouch, you're on my foot. But the thing I now need, I'm told, I've got to get a bicycle and treadle a bicycle. Can you imagine anything worse? Yes, one thing, jogging. I see these people puffing and panting their way around. I'll get that all out in a minute. Puffing and panting, that's what I meant to say. And they jog around and they do such a good job, and they all look so Herculean and so fit. And they come tearing around, and they run up and down stairs, and they look so good. Why, I move across the platform, and my heart nearly jumps out of my mouth. Oh, I need exercise. Well, here are three exercises the spiritual man who is wanting to grow must get himself into. One, he must get into open confession. He must learn to confess his sins, not necessarily to the minister, not necessarily to the congregation, but he must confess his sins to the Lord our God. Christians are going around saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, forgive me. My dear friends, He's forgiven you. You don't know what you're saying. If you're a Christian and you're asking God's forgiveness, you don't know what you're saying. You don't have to believe me. Go into 1 John and look at in the chapter 1 and look at verses 9 through 7 through 9, and you will discover that the writer there says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've got forgiveness. When is He faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, and Christians, you do sin. Now come, Christian, and confess your sins. Just come before God and say, my Father, this day have I looked on a woman and lusted after her. This day have I exaggerated. This day have I murmured against Thy counsel. This day have I argued against the government of this country. This day have I broken the law of God. This day have I coveted somebody else's thing. Today, Lord, look at me. I've had a shambles of a day. Tell Him. And when you confess your sins, He's faithful, He's just, He's forgiven your sins. But when you don't confess them, you haven't got forgiveness of them. To say, oh God, forgive me. He's forgiven you. He can't do anything more. He can't answer that prayer. God cannot answer that prayer because He has already forgiven. in order for you to gain that forgiveness, to know that your sins of that day are forgiven, that hour, that moment are forgiven, you must come before God and confess. The second piece of exercise that we need to get involved in is discovered in the first chapter of John's Gospel and verse 41. We must get into soul-winning activity. Get into the activity of winning souls. Oh, there's no greater activity to exercise the spirit of a man, to exercise the spiritual person who is growing up, than soul winning. Maybe you can start as I started. I had a tract and I stuck it in front of somebody's nose and said, "Do you believe that?" They said, "No." I said, "Keep it anyway." That was my first attempt, if I remember correctly. Then we used to go out into the buses and onto the tram cars in London, walk through the parks, giving out tracts. Sometimes people would run away from us. Sometimes they would talk to us. And then I got a little more sophisticated. I would just invite people round and talk to them about their souls. And gradually I grew up a little further and could do other things. And gradually the Lord was allowing me to win souls and win souls and win souls. What a precious thing that is. And remember, the person that winneth the soul, that brings a soul, causes a soul to turn from the error of his ways, covers a multitude of sin. I need to win souls. The third attitude, the third exercise I should be very involved in is recorded for me in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and also in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 38. And of course, there are many other references. But I must learn to be generous in giving. Now, you may think I pulled that one out just for you. No, that's what the Scripture says, that I need to exercise generosity in giving. I need to give hilariously. I need to give because everything I am and have belongs to God. And I need to give. As I give with generosity, so I will evidence the fullness of my heart. And the more I give, the more filling I will have in my heart and soul. And that's a fact. That isn't the preacher pleading for money for some project, even though we might need an organ. That isn't a preacher doing that at all. It is simply a fact of Scripture. People give out of the fullness of their heart, or they do not give. And when the people are stingy, their hearts are not full. When the people are mean, they have not grown up in the things of God, and you can be sure of it. Just read the history of the Old Testament, if nothing else. King David was so generous, he was generous to a fault. And God showered him with so much, and he kept giving it away. And the more he gave, the more the Lord gave. And the more generous he was, the fuller his heart became. And for he gave out of a full heart, he was generous. So when you get those three exercises going, there's one more thing. We must go on growing until we see Jesus face to face. Now, there's no quitting. There are no quitters in Christianity. Those of you that are Christians, there's no day off, there's no quitting time. Those of you that want to become a Christian, once you start, there is no finishing. You go on, right on into eternity. And the basis is this. When you receive Christ Jesus, you see, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you this wonderful new life. This new life that you receive is called eternal life. This eternal life goes on for eternity, from the day you're born again till the end of eternity, which will never end. Your life stretches out. So you don't get a quitting time. You go on growing up. You do your exercises of confession and soul winning and of generosity. You go on doing these things before God. You rest and you breathe the air of prayer. You are comforted by the Holy Spirit, and you allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to be comforted. You keep on eating the bread of life. You grow up. How do I grow? You grow when you get into the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this benediction of the Apostle Peter. He says this to us all. He says, you know, I have taught you all the things. I've gone back over the history of God's dealing with Israel. But now I tell you, you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Are you growing? Are you growing? I can't answer it for you, but you must answer God. Are you growing? And you can't start until you're born. And you have to be born again. Let's bow in prayer. Most gracious Father, we pray very especially in this congregation that thou wouldst speak to the hearts of those who are not really right with thee, people that are hiding behind thoughts about you, religiosity, people that are hiding behind a facade, a smile, when their hearts are yet aching. Oh God, there are people in this congregation surely whose hearts just long for the living God. We ask, blessed Father, that thou would breathe thy sweet spirit into their hearts this minute. And as we breathe the sweet breath of prayer at this point of time, work in those hearts, Lord. That men and women of this congregation now will say, it's time for me to be born again. It's time for me to know in whom I have believed and be persuaded that he is able to keep whatever it is that I commit unto him against that day. Almighty God and Father, work now in our hearts, we pray thee, and bless us that we may grow up in Christ Jesus. Amen.